reservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? Well, squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us, we're already here.
Can't do this. It's like in the great stories, the ones that really mattered.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
When you take that field today, you've got to lay that heart on the line.
From the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line.
I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch.
Yeah.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that freedom.
Will you fight?
For our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. But from annihilation.
This
when the world declared in one voice,
no one comes into our house and pushes us around.
Get up, get up, get up!
We here as a team, we're gonna crumble.
Run! No, love!
At least the last.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio.
Be me, Wild Bill Samsel, your host of the Samsel Report. Join me for Wild Bill's Headline Roundup every Saturday night, right here on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos?
The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out.
Not me.
Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all. And it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Good evening, everybody. It's Chilean Info Warriors with myself, Laura Lee Solomon, and my guests this evening, Noreen Helphand, Heather Holman, and of course, Uli Damagord. Uli, welcome.
Thank you so much, Laura Lee.
I'm glad to have you here. And I would like to let everyone know that this is a roundtable. We are a call-in show. So callers with questions and comments who wish to converse with any of us have the option to do so. The Studio A call-in number is 347-688-2908. Or if you're calling by phone as well, you can reach us at 956-217-0261. Or Skype us at Freedom Screen, one word, all lowercase. Or Skype me at Laura Lee Solomon. And that happens to be my Skype name as well as the name on my birth certificate. So come see us. This evening, we'd like to pick up more or less where we left off a couple of weeks ago with The Wild at Heart, where Uli was starting to talk about our social response to organizations and their schemes, organizations like the Bilderbergs and the Trilateral Commission and everybody related in that whole network of would-be planet owners. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to Mr. Damagard and see what he has to say this evening.
that's a big topic you just gave me there. I think one of the things that is very important to understand is that many of these organizations and people that seems like they're not connected are actually connected, and they're connected through organizations like the Secret Bilderberg Group, just like you said, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, Freemasonry, and so on. And so that's why it's so very important to become aware of who these members are, where they come from, the agenda they have, and where they meet. I mean, the Trilateral and the Council, they're open with most of these things, but the Bilderberg Group has been very, very secretive about this. And on my website, lightonconspiracies.com, in my book Coup d'etat in slow motion, the last 200 pages are just membership lists of the Bilderberg Group from 1954 all the way to 2014. All the members that I've been able to find out, the agenda that has leaked out from these meetings, and the location of each year's very secret meeting. And when you compare the agenda that has been discussed at these meetings and decisions taken there, and then you compare that with what actually happened in the world the following year, if you compare, you will see that the parallels are incredible. That I would humbly suggest that many of the decisions taken at the meetings of the Bilderberg meeting are actually being carried out during the following year. And I mean, that is where it's actually happening. We think we are choosing, electing people in elections. We think that wars just happen. We think that financial disaster just happens by accident. I would suggest absolutely not. Done by design to create different types of problems for the rest of us, to destabilize modern society, so that we will welcome more and more control, more and more militarized police, more and more robocops, martial law, you name it, giving up our weapons and so on, due to problems secretly created by groups like the Bilderberg Group. And many of the members in the Bilderberg Group are also members in the Trilateral, in the Council on Foreign Relations, and so on. So it's very, very intertangled and extremely important to expose these hidden, like it I would suggest that it is actually like a hidden world government, the hidden hand that you don't see, you can just feel its presence. And now is the time where it's coming out in the open after so many years, what is actually going on.
That's very interesting, and there are many groups that may or may not be affiliated with those. There was one that came to my attention just, within the last 3 weeks maybe, and it was via a show I produce. I was listening to Suzanne Possel, P-O-S-E-L, and she has a website called Occupy Corporatism. And she was reporting on a group called the Council for National Policy. And apparently, well, she really does think that they are sort of the opposite number of the Trilateral Commission group, because what they are doing, what they seem to be doing, is supporting the whole right, the right wing religious. The old 1980s moral majority group seems to have morphed into this, and they are very much focused on some ideas that are highly questionable, like precipitating World War III so that there will be the Armageddon, and this religious idea of the rapture will therefore necessarily be precipitated, forcing the hand of God, as it were, and bringing about their being raptured out of this world. So, and it's got a large membership of all sorts of people, and I'm just compelled to wonder about this group's actual affiliation with the people it's supposed to be opposing, because they do have such an extensive membership, and I haven't had the opportunity to take the two membership lists and you know run it through Excel and see how it works, what kind of overlap there really is. It would be fascinating.
This group I don't recognize, but what is happening at the moment, I believe, is that now the spotlight is being pointed straight at them. So they're trying to regroup because they've been able to work in the dark, you know, so they've been able to work without being visible. And now suddenly, boom, the spotlight is right on them. So I think they're regrouping, renaming groups, just like in a war, you know, suddenly exposure is a major threat. So they're trying to disguise what has been going on, regrouping, and also fooling us into saying, no, 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 well, you're just being paranoid. We're just a nice group of mostly elder gentlemen just having a nice tea and a biscuit, you know, on a Sunday. But that is actually not what is going on. So, but one of the things they always use is the old Roman tactic, problem, reaction, solution. They secretly create a problem. We don't understand that the problem is actually created by them to get a reaction from us. And the reaction is more or less always, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then boom, they can move forward with their agenda. Because if they had pushed forward their agenda without the problem first created, then the population would work against their solution. They would, there could be uprisings, demonstrations, guerrilla movements, everything like that. But instead, through this problem, this secret problem, that's very often a very violent or a very shocking thing, through that problem, they can be welcomed as heroes when they come with a solution. So it's just a matter of turning around the mentality of the population so that we will welcome them. And they're doing this on such a regular basis. So every time there's a major problem or major crisis, please be aware of the reporter, because when they report this in media which is controlled to such a large extent at this point, I mean, they worked so hard for decades to centralize the power to fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. And when it comes to media, through the ownership, so much of the media is controlled by them. So in the media, when they report from these different crises, problems, whatever it is, mass shooting, bombs, border problems, we were just talking about that, that might have to do with them, then please be aware of that the reporter, within a minute after reporting whatever has happened, will suggest a solution, will point out a patsy and come up with a solution. It was they did it, and the only way we can get solve this problem is by become aware of that, and you will see how it's all set up.
Yeah, that makes me look at the border problem with new eyes, kind of, because it's been very much in the news that the United States southern border is being swamped primarily by women with children and unaccompanied minor children who are arriving from Central America in thousands. And the problem seems to relate to two issues that exist in the United States that they're actually being exploited to promote. One of those was the immigration legislation that got stymied in Congress, and that was to do another amnesty type of thing to let people from Mexico and South America stay in this country. And another issue was something that was tried a number of years ago. They were going to build this wall along the border, very like Israel and Palestine, and that's, you know, where the idea came from immediately. If they're going to build a wall, what's it for? To keep people in or to keep people out? And that wall ran into so much opposition. People didn't want it on their land. People didn't want their land taken for it. People didn't want this ugly thing on the border. People didn't want anything to do with that, with the idea of that wall that Israel built around the Palestinians. So it didn't really go forward in any complete way. There are little sections of it that were built, and it just didn't happen. So now we have this flood of people coming over the border, and the Border Patrol is completely occupied with dealing with them, with getting them accommodations, with getting them out of the border region and into some place where they can connect with family and be taken care of, which can't happen here. But that's a human problem, and it's being dealt with pretty good logistics. They're moving people out of the borders and into other places where they do have capacity just as fast as they can. But it leaves the rest of the monitoring of the border and the watching for problems pretty much not being managed the way it should. And so it's a big diversion that's going on, And I'm sure that the drug cartels are involved in it up to their eyeballs. And we know that those Mexican drug cartels that went south a few years ago when things got tougher in Mexico were generating gangs and gang violence and driving people out, and also taking advantage of people's need and trafficking human trafficking in a very real sense, selling people into slavery across the border. So in the way they act, I kind of feel like they are kind of capable of becoming NATO type gladio actors once they get over the border. I mean, I'm referring to the drug cartels. They haven't done that here. In fact, a lot of their leadership lives on this side of the border simply because it's safer here. But that might not always be the case, particularly if there is a big desire to do something drastic about the border one way or the other. Either unite the countries as the old plan has been, you know, the North American Union scheme, or to put up that darn concrete fence.
I tell you, Laurie, I think you're so spot on now. I would just say that I don't think these two are separate things. You know, they open up the borders with a NAFTA thing. They didn't even ask the American population. They just opened them to be able to get this problem going, so that drugs and people, everything could just move in and out very freely, to shock the people, saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And that's where the wall comes in. They didn't, mm-hmm. they couldn't make it the first time. So they just put up pieces of it, you know, so that people wouldn't, because if it just, it was just like the Berlin Wall, people weren't ready for it. So they put up sections of it, just preparing, getting, so people are used to it. Ah, it's not that bad. It's only a few miles there, a few miles there. But so that it would be so much easier to close up. Then they had all these border, inland border controls, like in Arizona, like 50 miles in, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do here in Texas, too.
I know. And that's absolutely illegal. But then when you have a problem, then the population will say, well, I mean, they're doing it. It's for our sake. So let's get the wall up there. Let's get accept these border controls. Why? They're doing it for our best. It's done by design, I'm telling you. I would very much. And also, where are all these people coming from at this amount? They would be transported to the border somehow. I would look into who's transporting them, who's financing it, who's behind this. And when it comes to drug cartels, please also understand that the people in power in your country and globally are so deeply involved in this. So when you say the Mexican drug cartels, you are making a mistake, I would say. Look at people like Bush, Clinton, who are so central in the whole crack epidemic, who were the,
yes,
the receiving part in the Iran-Contra scandal that started this whole thing, where weapons were flown out from the National Guard. Without the serial numbers, they were stolen from the National Guard. And then there was a CIA company that manufactured only that part with the serial numbers on for all the weapons. They were flown down to the so-called Contras army and used to absolutely massacre population of El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, these countries. And then these, the same planes that flew down there, I mean, some of them were massive big C-130s, and other people, other planes were medevac, you know, these, what do you call it, medical airplanes and helicopters that flew down there disguised mm-hmm. as being medical support, you know, to take wounded in and medical equipment in and out and so on. But what they did was that they used these planes to get drugs by the tons into the states. And one of the places they used was the airstrip in Mena, Arkansas, where a governor, very unknown at that time, by the name of Bill Clinton, together with his companion Dan Lasseter, were some of the people, and George Bush Sr. personally, that received these drugs. And then that was spread out by design all over the states to the LA to sell through the gangs there and so on, to make billions for them, and also to destabilize American society so that the minorities would start killing each other, crime rates would go up, and the same global elite that had invested massively into privately owned prisons would make billions once again. I mean, nowadays in the States, if you steal a loaf of bread, you can get life or death sentence. I mean, it's unreal what is going on. You got to hire, what do you call it, people in prison percentage than ever before in the history of the world, as far as I know, way above all other countries that you label terrorist states. You know, so it's so sick what is going on in especially your country at the moment. So when it comes to these things, I would put a very, very big question mark on the side and look into it very carefully.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Steve Travesty had a question. He had another item related to the onset of this business at the border that he wanted to bring up, it that seemed to be obfuscated by it. Steve?
Hello. How's it going?
Fine,
hi,
sir.
Steve.
Good, good. My question is that when this new immigration issue occurred, you seem to be extremely well versed in the national politics of this issue. You may be able to give us a great answer. What happened? Because when this story broke was the exact same time that Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader in our Congress, lost his in the primaries, which thus made him immediately lose his position as House Majority Leader. And he's the guy who was a cornerstone for pushing any kind of a successful immigration bill, because the first thing that the media started talking about when he lost his position was immigration reform. And I don't remember if Cantor lost his seat, then the immigration story broke, or if the immigration story broke and then Cantor lost his seat. But one kind of reacted to the other in many respects.
Yes, I'm not sure about the order on that either, but
I think they were around the same time. I mean, but I think definitely the correlation as a result. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think as I recall, the situation was started to become a crisis-y in at least in terms of press coverage shortly after the immigration bill went down in flames in Congress.
I'm sorry, this one I don't know. I don't follow national.
Yeah. But it was very suspicious, and it was suspicious enough that the Border Patrol complained of the manipulation.
Okay. I would also say that what you mentioned with this thing down by the border now, it's that, oh my God, it's such a big problem that they can't, they're now the border is opening up, you know, they can't even handle that. I would just say, absolute, come on, that is such a baloney, because there's so many soldiers in an army, whatever, in the States that could just be put down there. If this was a major problem that they wanted to help to get sorted out, they could sort it out within minutes. You know, so.
Well, here in Texas.
Oh, go ahead. I have something really just came to me about it, but go ahead and I'll say it after.
Okay. Here in Texas, they diverted the Department of Public Safety down to the border area to support the Border Patrol. Yes, Noreen?
There has been a big effort. I don't know if it's Obama administration or whatever. The media has not even been allowed on the premises of some of these encampments with these illegals, especially the children or whoever. So the media has even been blocked away. There's a lot of secrecy surrounding this issue. And so there's that aspect of it. And so I think there is more to this than meets the eye. And that's why it's a big story, because the public is enraged over every level of it, depending on how much they know. But still, the media can't get in. The sex trafficking thing with the kids is a big one. The drugs, it's all, as you were saying, you know, you guys, it's all related. But nevertheless, it's regardless of how much, what is it, manpower we have and stuff, there is so much, like, it's fishy. The whole thing is just very strange, you know, and basically, yeah, the media is not even allowed around, so it's very strange.
Can I just say that some years ago I was down in Greece, and there was a big, political, massive big meeting where it was the two candidates for presidency, Mitsotakis and Papandreou. These two were the two opponents. And when Papandreou, that was the guy they wanted in power, this global elite, when he was giving his speech in one town or in one city, I noticed all these buses just arriving, you know, like doom, 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 doom. And I was just by the border, and all of these buses arrived from Bulgaria. And I was in the crowd when Mitsotakis was giving his speech and so on. And I'll tell you, like, 60% of the people, there were thousands, were Bulgarians that didn't even understand the language. They had been transported there in buses. And then the next time it was Papandreou, what they wanted was to create this massive big conflict between the two of them. The same buses drove there to add the drama. So I would just suggest that one reason that that the media would not be allowed in. I'm just suggesting. I mean, it's very easy to get to see things that is more than actually exist or getting paranoid. I would just say one of the reasons might be that all of these thousands and thousands of people might be the same people being transported up and down the border, showing that, oh my God, we've got such a problem. Oh my God, we've got such a problem. Oh my God, from city to city to city. I'm just suggesting, I have absolutely no idea, but that was how they did it in Greece. So with these type of things, you need to be very, very observant to see what's going on and go into great detail to figure it out. Because and also, be aware of that this might be a major diversion away from something else that's going on in your country that is pointing down at the border saying, look there, look there, look there, instead of actually looking to whatever is happening at the moment.
Another dangerous thing, Oli, that's going on is we don't even know who half the people are. Sure, if they're innocent children, whatever, however you define as being innocent, The statements by observers is that it's like it could be anybody, you know, because they have gang members that are 12 years old, you know, that are very, very good at you know, using weapons. And so we don't know that they could be completely victimized girls. And we don't know anything. So we can't literally judge the people because there's just so many kinds. And that's a danger, no matter, you know, I'm not saying you're saying this, but the bottom line to me of this is like, whoever they are, it's not safe to just let people in and let them go freely amongst the public when you don't even know who they are. You know, literally don't even know. I just want to say that, but no.
They need to simply be sent back home.
Mm-hmm. You heard about that protest today, right?
Whether any of these people like it or not, these people, they need to be shuffled onto airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be flown back to their respective homes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Steve, you did hear about that protest today here in California, in Marietta. It was a major big deal. I mean,
I don't know any details. I know that there's been some major protests by the various areas around the country that have been the recipients of these kids that they are trying to take off of these things.
Mm-hmm, right.
Get them off of the bases or whatever, or the... I heard that they're making use of the FEMA camps this way. So now
mm-hmm,
these
mm-hmm.
basically turning into immigration camps.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, which that makes sense because they've got these facilities that they wasted all this money anticipating a particular kind of police state situation to go down, which they're not going to get. And so they've got all these death camps that are wasted. So now they're being mm-hmm. turned into immigration holding cells.
Mm-hmm.
What does seem unlikely with the people being moved away from the border areas as quickly as possible is it probably isn't the same people being recycled.
I'm just suggesting. I've seen it in other countries. So I have no idea.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the subject at hand, the engineers of this kind of thing.
Can I also say that one of the things when it comes to the national feeling, the national pathos and from different countries, is the problem with immigrants. I've been in countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Lebanon, all of these countries, all of them have a problem with immigration. Every single one. If you're in Iran, it's the Afghanis. If you're in Pakistan, it's the Afghanis. Or the, you know, it's like everybody has a problem with people invading or flooding in over their borders. And this is also a very, very emotional, easy way to reach the population. You want to create an emotional reaction, go for immigration, you know. So this could also be, just like Steve said, this is a very good reason to get the FEMA camps going. So there's a reason for them to be there. Oh, thank God we have them. So now we can sort this problem out. You know, many times these problems, if this is a secretly created problem, I don't know, but I'm just suggesting, there's more than one reason behind them. You know, they use several problems to solve so-called several problems with the same solution, to justify the same solution.
Yeah, to get things accepted that weren't accepted before.
Exactly. And I tell you, if what you're describing is correct, then they would go for the wall. They love walls.
Yeah. Well, nobody liked the wall, so it didn't happen in particular. There's a few sections of it. Anyhow.
It doesn't matter how high your walls are when your strategy is to dig a tunnel.
Yeah.
They're digging tunnels. There's an underground railroad system here. You know,
it's been around for years. Yeah.
You know, we are the new North, you know, if, you know, and we look at Mexico and Central America as like your slave population and everybody wants to get out of it per se. And we don't even have enough of an economy to support, you know, all those wonderful legal workers that can get paid under the table. I mean, hell, I'll work under the table if somebody would freaking hire me, but I can't even get a job like that because there are none.
True.
So this is a doubly screwed up thing. There's got to be a very small demographic of elites that must be benefiting from this because, you know, because usually an issue like this, something as influential as immigration and nation changing as immigration, you would expect there to be more beneficiaries to it. But there aren't a whole
there
lot.
There is not. It's a lose. It's a lose-lose.
That elites care about.
Pulling down the nation as far as its debt is concerned, and into it was already bad with all the war activity that this country has been put through, but this on top of it is just like the nails in the coffin of the national economy, the national budget, anyhow.
Yeah, especially here in California, Texas is a little different, but, you know, as you know, California, we're like totally broke over years of this, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard on everybody along the border. The hospitals are carrying on moaning and groaning because the health care is a big attraction. And people come over the border to the hospital all the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I know we're always talking about, he seems like he's very well traveled and has seen this repeat itself over and over everywhere. But, you know, and myself, I've only been to a few countries. I'm nothing, you know, as well traveled or observed as much as he has. But just reading and knowing and hearing stories, yeah, it's definitely immigration because the capacity for large movements of people, I think, is definitely a tool of the elites, like Steve was saying, you know. Because who is really benefiting from this commotion? You know, I think it is a tool of destruction, and definitely it's.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, this is like a minority of the elites.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So like, it's very, very weird, but I'm basically just trying to convey, like, imagine if there was like a plot to rule the world by like 1,000 people, and then there was maybe 50 people of those 1,000 people that had an immigration plot that would have benefited them, and therefore they stand alone with not much help from the other 950 guys in the plot.
Exactly.
To take the world.
I know.
That's
it
what
doesn't...
this feels like, mm-hmm. because I don't see the apparatus where this works. The only thing that this does is what, like Laura Lee said, is that it kind of pulls the whole country down. And mm-hmm. that may be the only thing that this is
I think that's it. Yeah, I think you got it.
Right.
I feel that's it.
That, and they don't like borders. They want borders eliminated. And if the borders are a problem, you can start to get them eliminated by talking mm-hmm. about world government to manage everything.
Exactly. There you go.
You know, we existed in a time a long time ago where we had borders, but it wasn't the biggest deal in the world. There was a time that existed before passports. There was a time, you know, and you still had national identities and defined borders, and you could freely go back and forth. Similar to what Europe was like before it was the Euro, but certainly after World War II. Not that I'm intimately familiar with the ins and outs of the of how that worked with their geopolitics, but you know, I remember, you know, you could go back and forth between Canada and America pretty easily back in the day. Now it's a hassle, and that makes no sense, because there is not an immigration traffic issue on the northern border. And yet they created one after 9/11 for no reason.
It's actually, you used to need visas. There were passport controls between each and every country in Europe. But then after the Euro and different of these major decisions that they've taken, now you can just go straight in a car through more or less the whole of Europe in one go. No, you don't get stopped hardly ever. Nothing.
Well, you're a confederacy now. You're a couple steps below.
That's the one. The European Union. That's what they've created here. And every single country that has joined the Euro has just gone down the drains financially. So.
Right. That's a central banking scam either way. I think the concept of the European Union as a whole, I think, is a great idea, because I like the way that the United States works as a republic.
Or
how it used to work.
Yeah.
But there's still aspects of how we relate to each other that works. You know, I don't think of a Californian as a different nation than my own, even though you are a different nation. You have a certain different set of laws and budgetary balances and tax codes and all these other stupid little things. But the point is that you've got your own little slice of America. You've got a particular way that your America works versus the way that my America works, but it has an identity that is American, and that's a concept that's been there for a while, regardless of any government. The concept's been there. It's just a matter of how that concept has been used, because we are talking about things that I would call the concept of the law merchant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the law merchants are the guys that are manipulating us. That is another problem in and of itself. What I'm basically getting at is that there's got to be there is a more cohesive way for us to coexist without treating each country like a concentration camp, because that's what we're doing when we're putting up walls and we're having ridiculously stringent travel restrictions, and we are making the environments of our nations in such a way where they are both attracting foreign elements while at the same time the attraction of that foreign element is also destroying the fabric of that society. That is the cocktail of chaos that they have cooked up for us.
Yeah, the problem, reaction, solution thing. It's being pointed at the whole concept of borders.
I would also say you're talking about a problem with finances and immigration and so on. Just to point out, you got army bases in 150 plus countries.
Mm-hmm,
what
mm-hmm.
are you doing there? And how do the local population feel about that? That is a very good question. Because I would say that in most countries, you are not very welcome. So no disrespect, but it would be a very good idea maybe to consider that and withdraw these bases and use the money in your own home backyard, solving all these. I mean, there's so many homeless, so many poor, so many problems with hospitals, all of these things, awful circumstances for veterans and elderly people. Use the money for that instead.
Yeah, things worked better while we had an economy, but mm-hmm. Free trade agreements kind of exported that. It exported that. Well, we are about maybe 15 minutes from our hourly break. So I would like to ask you, Ole, to let's go back to looking at the grand strategies and what we as a population in our individual nations can do for ourselves to oppose constructively this kind of agenda setting.
Difficult question. I'm not somebody that's I don't have the final solution. I have absolutely no idea. What I do know is that exposure, a non-violent way, is the way to go. If you try to fight these powers with force, violence in any way, they will just turn that around and use it to squash you. The language of this group is violence, death and destruction. So I would very strongly suggest that that is not the way to go. The way to go would be to, by exposing them, first of all, it's like we're sitting in a house and the house is on fire. You can discuss how you want to decorate the home and everything, but first of all, you need to turn out the fire, you know, and this group is on fire symbolically. So I would focus on exposing them, so neutralizing them by the more people become aware of the different methods they're using. That's why I've been on hundreds of shows now. One of the things I do is to expose the template they use, the method they use, so that the normal person in the street will become aware of it. Because it's own, do you know, like when you see a magician doing a trick and it looks like he's doing it with his left hand, but once you discover that it's actually done behind his back with the right hand, once you see how it's done, you don't buy it anymore. And
yes.
And this is the thing why I focus on showing the template, so that the next time there's a so-called mass shooting or a so-called terrorist act or assassination done by a lone crazy guy, look at the template. How is it pulled off? How did they do it? How do they build the whole thing up so that they can dupe the population into thinking it's the deed of a lone crazy guy, and so they can push forward their agenda. Once these things are exposed, then they won't be able to pull it off anymore. And I don't know if I think I told you about the Bilderberg, the possible false flag that was in Copenhagen. I told you about that last time, didn't I?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I would suggest that if more and more people, normal people, can become aware of the signs of these false flags, being prepared, because very often it will look like a film set, the same set, the way they set up film sets, the preparations will be there as well. And very often they go out in the local newspaper just saying, well, tomorrow we're going to have a drill of a mass shooting in a school, or a drill of a bomb drill, or a drill, whatever drill it is, go there, use your cell phones, just film them. Film the preparation, just showing that they are being observed, and then put it out on YouTube right away, you know, stream it out there. And then by, I'm not saying that this is the case every single time, but maybe by doing this, we can defuse these situations so that they won't, because up until now, it's always been, in hindsight, we say, oh, the Boston bombing, that is how they pulled it off, or the Sandy Hook or whatever. But now if we can come to a point where we prefuse it, they don't even get the time to set it up. You know, as soon as the bomb cars come in, or they start putting up the explosives or set up the whole stage or whatever it is that they want to be the next one, they would be observed.
You know, only people have started to look at crisis actors.
I know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
And keeping track of organizations that recruit and place crisis actors. Veterans Today had an article out. In fact, seems they're looking for Russian crisis actors now. So, you know, not to wish harm on any hapless would-be actor. somebody looking to be paid for that sort of thing. But I would ask people to think before they take these jobs.
God, yeah.
What are you being involved in? Why are you getting involved in it? What is going to happen? It's like ridiculous that they can take ordinary people and put them in these roles and have something like Sandy Hook, where crisis actors became pretty evident as a reality.
Do you know, I spoke to Chip Tatum. He's a former CIA operative for 25 years. He was a deep cover agent. He was a black op assassin. He was one of the Night Stalker pilots. He was one of the pilots in Iran-Contras. And he was the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private team of assassins called Pegasus. They did at least 17 missions internationally and so on. Not a beginner, not an amateur, who's also been part of these kind of false flag operations. And I asked him, how do you control what people are being used and how do you control them? And because this thing that, you know, somebody in the Boston bombing, you know, that there's a witness that died in the Sandy Hook and so on, you know, this, why do they use the same people? And he said that the reason they use the same actors is to keep it to as small a group as possible, but also to keep the people quiet. I mean, now I'm talking about crisis actors and so on. How do you stop them from getting out there in the press? How do you stop them from getting second thoughts after they were part of a thing like this? And he said, money is the first one. That's the easiest one. But they're very much controlled so they don't get big-headed or you know, get second thoughts or so on. Or intimidation. You know, they terrorize them to keep quiet. Or if they become a serious problem, they eliminate them. So I would very much suggest to people that would like to become an actor, do it at somewhere else. You know, this is not the way to go if you want to become an actor, because also maybe you get well paid for one off, but you cannot get out of that one. You know, you get yourself into deep shark waters here, because these people are hard hitting. They are not compassionate, you know. If they have a problem, they solve it, and they normally solve it in a very brutal way. So I would stay away.
Absolutely, absolutely. Steve,
may I? I've got a couple seconds here of a clip that I think you guys will appreciate. I remember seeing this on the internet, but it had come out. But it was on TV. I don't know when it aired, but I remember it shortly after the Boston Marathon bombing. And I remember showing this clip to our station manager, Mike Greenlee, because we were heavily invested in the research of what the details of the Boston bombing were. And I came across this. And this is the public side of crisis actors right here.
We call it hyper-realistic. Kit Lavelle served in Vietnam and now runs Strategic Operations, a movie set turned training ground, preparing thousands of U.S. servicemen and women for combat.
Individuals who are going through the training here are not expecting to see an amputee. So the shock effect of seeing that happen is priceless.
The action is fake, but the amputees are real. They're actors with a unique perspective on what others would consider a disability.
It's more of a gift. I need to share it with people.
You think this is a gift?
It is a gift.
Heather Morales lost her right leg to cancer when she was just 8.
Yeah,
that's that goes on for about 3 minutes right there. But that is a company called Strategic Operations. They are professional crisis actors for military training. And they hire amputees specifically.
Uh-huh. And
just like any of the amputees we saw at the Boston bombing, including the famous double amputee that made no sense whatsoever on the wheelchair instead of a stretcher.
I tell you this, you're spot on with this one, Steve. Because also, if you continue looking at that clip, they interview her and she's sitting with tears in his eye, in her eyes saying, "Oh, this general came and shook my hand," and so they're so duped into believing that they're doing something good, when actually they're being used. And just like with any other operation they do, it's totally compartmentalized, so that people only know their little part. They are not aware of the big picture. So once again, people who are involved in this type of activity as well, please inform yourself so that you can see what's going on. And that you can see how devastating it is for the rest of society, for the rest of us, what you're involved in.
And for the record, seeing something like this in the public way that it's being done is something that I agree with, because I think that's really valuable training for anybody who, God forbid, you know, there's a major disaster that causes devastation. Terrorism can be, it's not always staged. It can be some crazy guy did a crazy thing because he knew how to make a bomb and he was mentally ill or whatever. Sometimes it is that simple. It's just a question of how much do we want to throw away our freedoms for it. That's the reason why we fight to get the truth, because there's always that problem of when a crisis occurs and it becomes a rally cry for stealing freedoms. That is always incredibly suspicious, because why would you want to put an agenda on it? Why do you have such a control of the flow of information in the process of you also politicizing it for these purposes? But what we're seeing here is valuable training, and it's good to have like somebody who you don't have to pretend doesn't have a leg to be able to work with, you know, dealing with somebody who did just lose their leg, and be able to run through the scenario of how much that person weighs, what the differences in body, etc. Those are all good things. Just keep
break time, Steve.
For purposes.
Great.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I can't do this. It's like in the great stories, the ones that really mattered.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
When you take that field today,
from the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line.
Okay, I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die
who's going to win that itch.
Yeah.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that freedom. Will you fight
for our freedom? Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. From annihilation.
Yes.
When the world declared in one voice,
no one comes into our house and pushes us around.
Get up, get up, get up!
We heal as a team, or we're gonna crumble.
Run! No, love!
At least the wild.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio. Your data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? In survival, in gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
There is no good and evil. There is only power, and those too weak to seek it.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Be sure to tune in weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Strange Universe with Sean David Morton. The strange, interesting, and engaging wide variety of topics. So be here. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
I can't do this.
It's like in the great stories, the ones that really mattered.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
When you take that field today, you've got to lay that heart on the line.
From the soles of your feet, with every ounce of blood you've got in your body, lay it on the line.
I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch.
Yeah.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that freedom.
Will you fight
for our freedom? Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. From annihilation.
This
when the world declared in one voice,
no one
comes into our house, pushes us around.
Get up, get up, get up!
You heal. As a team, we're gonna crumble.
Run! No, Rob!
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, the heart's beating faster. It's getting a little louder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting endangerment. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
The finder of lost children and missing persons.
Monique Lassan.
Surveillance, civil and criminal investigations.
I investigate.
You know, I am the chosen one.
Do not underestimate the power of good, and do not dismiss the strength of the child.
Yes, every Wednesday evening on Revolution Radio, come join our very own eye investigatrix, Monique Lassan, with her private eye X-Files.
So you're the finder of lost children.
Private eye X-Files, every Wednesday from 10 to midnight Eastern, Studio B, on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I realize it's very hard for you to take in. What is your destiny to find the golden child?
Revolution Radio! You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. We'll be right back.
We are back with Chilin Info Warriors, and I am Laura Lee Solomon, your host. And I would like to point out to you some wonderful opportunities at freedomslips.com. If you will look at the support tab, you will find all the wonderful promotions we usually have. But when you come onto the site in the first place, you get to see this wonderful banner about the summer auction. And I've got to tell you, the summer auction is a wonderful thing. We are in round two of the auction now, and they have posted a number of items for bids. So you can have all the fun that people used to have on eBay shopping at the Freedom Slips Summer Auction, which is at ourfreedomnetwork.com. Please go out and give that a look. And let's see, what's our fundraising score for the present? We are at $200 out of $1,900 with 27 days to go for the month. So, my friends, let's get in there and raise some money for the work we do here, which is to help increase our awareness as a society of some of the things that do go on. That is how we resist changes we don't want. That being said, back to our conversation. And by the way, you're welcome to join in. Please give us a call if you are interested in joining in. We are on Skype at Freedom Screen, all one word, all lowercase. And the Studio A call-in number is 347-688-2902. Also, you can reach us at 956-217-0261. Come join the conversation, especially if you have any questions and comments for our guest, Ole Demigard. And now, back to that conversation. I'm really interested, Ole, in what you think about the strategic way we have to look at things to protect not only ourselves, but the people around us and our societies and our values as we go into situations where there may be false flag events. People have to learn to look at things in a new way and look at set and setting and drills and who's around and what seems to be there so they can take meaningful action in terms of filming, as you suggested, and distributing the kind of information that will at least expose false flags after the event, but possibly even preempt their going down if enough people become aware of them beforehand, as you did during the Bilderberg meeting in Copenhagen. So it might be good for you to reiterate what you saw there and what you did about it in order to help cultivate that idea of learning to see things differently, learning to see things like an intelligence guy.
Okay. You know, I've spent like 30 years of my life looking into these things very, very deeply. I looked into many of the major assassinations, many of the major false flag operations, and just to show that I'm not just full of it, I lost two friends that was murdered, and I had to leave my country and move to another country. So I've been deep in down the rabbit hole. What would you prefer, that I describe the template they use or what happened in Copenhagen?
Both.
Because it's a little time consuming. But what would you like, a template of an assassination or a terror act?
The terror act. The terror act is what we face these days.
Yeah.
That's what's being used to herd
the
sheep.
True. Okay, this is not a template that I found like on a piece of paper. It is a template that I've seen by studying hundreds of these events in great, great details. And I've, after a while, it's like this bullet point list has almost started showing itself just by how they carry them out. So the way, and when I say they, then we're talking about this elite few that are behind the New World Order, and have been pushing their agenda forward for decades and decades. Okay, so what they use normally are old Roman tactics that have been tested out for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now it's just a high-tech version of it. And one of the main ones they use to do what is called the stepping stone as well, that instead of just pushing their agenda forward right on top of us.
Sir?
Sorry? Hello? Hello?